Welcome to the Danilo Husar-Struk Memorial Lecture. The Danilo Husar-Struk Memorial Lecture is an annual event presented by the Struk Program in Ukrainian Literature, which is a part of the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies, which is a part of the University of Alberta, but it does have a Toronto office. This year in particular, we are very happy to have the St. Vladimir's Institute as a co-sponsor, and I am very grateful to Lida Smilka for arranging the premises and the sweets and coffee that are available. Thank you very much. This is... Sure. We are great. This is the 18th year that the annual lecture is taking place. That is, in fact, how long since Danilo suddenly and unexpectedly passed away. And we have a long record of very distinguished speakers and no less distinguished the speaker today. The Struk program and the Struk lecture were founded shortly after Danilo's death to honor an important and influential scholar by holding a lecture in English on topics in Ukrainian literature. We chose this knowingly. I understand that talking about Ukrainian literature in English sometimes seems like the wrong thing to do. But we also do a great number of events in Ukrainian. And so I don't feel that we are doing any injustice. And we do want to make sure we reach out not only to the Ukrainian community, but also to a wider community that may be interested in the things we study. We are very grateful to all of the contributors who created the Danilo and Oksana Struk Fund at the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies, which is what stands behind this program. The primary donors were, of course, the family, particularly Oksana Struk, but there was a considerable outpouring of generosity from the community and particularly from Danilo's friends. We are grateful to them, and we hope that the program will gain more adherents and more contributors, and we will do more good things in the future. We are particularly grateful today to Bill Schuch, who is videotaping the event. And if you've ever seen any Ukrainian-themed event on YouTube, then you know very well his work, because that's how they get there, because he puts them there. Thank you, Bill. Today's speaker is someone familiar on the North American scene. Professor Olga Luchuk has been in North America quite often, in fact. She has a rather stellar career in obtaining fellowships and grants. She has been a Fulbright Fellow in the United States. She's been a fellow at Harvard University. She is now, for the second time, I understand, a Kulaski Fellow. And she is in Toronto working on her next project, which involves the correspondence of two significant scholars in Ukrainian studies, our own Torontonian George Lutsky, the late professor at the University of Toronto, and George Chevalot of Columbia University. That's what she's working on now. That's not what she'll be talking about. Olga Luchuk is a distinguished scholar in translation studies. Her education was at first at VU University, and then she had her doctorate, that is her kandidatska, at Kyiv National University. Her dissertation was in translation studies. Her dissertation was on the Ukrainian translations of Shakespeare's plays. A fascinating topic if you've ever looked at that material. Dr. Luchuk has a great many publications. If I hadn't reduced the point size to about 9, there'd be 15 pages here. I'm not going to read all of this to you. But she is particularly known for her work in translation studies. And so she is currently expecting her next monograph in Ukrainian to appear shortly. Пантелеймон Куліш і Микола Лукаш – перехресні стежки перекладачів. Пантелеймон Куліш and Микола Лукаш – the intersections of translation. If you don't know, Микола Лукаш is a very eminent Ukrainian translator that is into Ukrainian. She is also well known for her work in compiling and editing anthologies of translations. Probably you have seen a number of these. She has four that I'll mention. 100 Years of Youth, a bilingual anthology of 20th century Ukrainian poetry. She co-edited with Michael Naidan. In a Different Light, a bilingual anthology of Ukrainian literature translated into English by Virlana Tkach and Wanda Phillips, another one of her publications. And then I'll mention two more, Landscapes of Memory, the selected later poetry of Lina Kostenko, and Flying Head and Other Poems by Viktor Neborak. She is indeed a professional in translation studies. I'm sure you didn't come here to listen to me, even if I am doling out praise for our speaker. And so without further ado, I invite you to listen to Professor Olha Luchuk. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Tarnavsky, for your very kind and generous introduction. Dear ladies and gentlemen, before I start my lecture, I would like to say that I'm very honored to be invited to give the 2017 Danilo Huzar-Struk Memorial Lecture. I'm very proud to be in the group of prominent scholars who previously have delivered lectures here. And I'm very grateful to Professor Tarnavsky for inviting me. In addition, I'm very thankful to the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies for awarding me the Kolaski Visiting Research Fellowship and thus giving me the opportunity to conduct my research at the University of Toronto. And thank you all for coming. I'm very sorry for my voice. I'm afraid I caught cold just a couple of days before my lecture. Sometimes it happens. But I hope that I will be able to deliver my lecture without coughing and sneezing. So as you can see from the title, my lecture today deals with Animal Farm, one of the most popular works by the renowned English writer George Orwell, and five Ukrainian translations of this allegorical fairy story. Today, I will describe the history of publication of Orwell's original as well as the five Ukrainian translations. Each of them has its own interesting history and peculiarities. For example, Igor Shevchenko's translation is the first translation of Animal Farm to be published. Moreover, George Orwell wrote a special introduction to that edition. Irina Dybko's version comprises a free interpretation of Animal Farm in which the translator changes the location of the story and the characters' names. And the translation by Drozdovsky can be considered as an interesting literary mystification since the translator's real name remains unknown. In my lecture, I will use various materials, including correspondence between George Lutsky and Ihor Shevchenko, as well as my own correspondence with two translators, Ihor Shevchenko and Yuri Shevchuk. So, the allegorical fairy tale by George Orwell was first published in August of 1945 in England under the title Animal Farm, A Fairy Story by George Orwell. A year later, the work came out in the United States, but subtitle A Fairy Story was removed from this edition. As strange as it may seem today, Orwell encountered many difficulties with the publication of this work. Quite a few publishing houses, both British and American, rejected the manuscript. Among them was Faber and Faber, whose editor at the time was the renowned writer and later Nobel laureate T.S. Eliot. Although the publisher recognized the literary merits of the work, he found it to be Trotskyist, and explained that Faber and Faber did not share the author's political views. Another publishing house, which had at first accepted the work, rejected it after consulting with the Ministry of Information. Their main objective was that Orwell wrote exclusively about the USSR and its two dictators. Had he written about totalitarian dictatorships in general, they would have published it. In addition, this publisher thought that Orwell's choice of pigs as a ruling caste was unfortunate, as it could be offensive to people, especially to sensitive Russians. Orwell described the problems he had with publishing the novel in his article, The Freedom of the Press, in which he also mentioned that the reason for all these difficulties was not official censorship, but rather the publisher's self-censorship. Even in Great Britain and the United States, it seems there was a fear at the time that this work could harm relations between Great Britain or the USA and the USSR, who were allies in World War II. Eventually, the British publishing house Second Warburg took the risk and published it in 1945. By the way, the author had finished his manuscript in February 1944, a year and a half prior to that. In addition, just one American publisher, Harcourt, Brace and Company, had the courage, as Orwell put it, to accept Animal Farm for publication. After it came out in the United States, the noted American critic Christopher Morley called the book one of the most significant political satires ever written. And another critic, Edmund Wilson, compared Orwell to Voltaire and Swift. Having run into publishing difficulties, as well as the publisher's self-censorship, and understanding that it was far from easy to print the anti-Soviet work at that time in Great Britain, Orwell wrote, as I said, The Freedom of the Press, with the intention of including it as a preface to the first 1945 edition of Animal Farm, but for unknown reasons, the article did not appear in it. The manuscript of this preface was found by scholar Ian Angus more than 25 years later, and printed in the Times Literary Supplement on September 15, 1972, together with a companion article, How the Essay Came to be Written, by the first biographer of Orwell, Professor Bernard Crick. According to Crick, the major thrust of Orwell's article was that cowardice is as great a threat to liberty as official censorship. So why did the British and American publishers find Orwell's work so threatening? And why was this work, as well as his novel 1984, forbidden in the USSR and Eastern European countries for many years, until the late 1980s? The answer is quite simple: political expediency. George Orwell's Animal Farm is an allegory of the Soviet totalitarian regime. a work that dispels the Soviet myth about socialism in the USSR. Orwell himself spelled out his intentions and the main objective of his novel in another preface he wrote, this time to the first Ukrainian translation of Animal Farm. In particular, Orwell stated that it was of the utmost importance to him, quote, that people in Western Europe should see the Soviet regime for what it really was, end quote. A system that, according to Orwell, had nothing in common with a society built on the principles of social justice and equality. That is why the author decided to refute the Soviet myth, quote, in a story that should be easily understood by almost everyone and which could be easily translated into other languages, end quote. In the same preface, Orwell also explained why people in England could not comprehend what was really happening in the USSR. According to the author, one of the reasons for such a misunderstanding or illusion lay in the fact that England was a country, quote, in which people have lived together for several hundred years without major conflict, in which the laws are relatively just, and official news and statistics are almost invariably be believed, and last but not least, in which to hold and to voice minority views does not involve any mortal danger. In such an atmosphere, in Orwell's view, the man in the street has no real understanding of things like concentration camps, mass deportations, arrests without trial, press censorship, etc. And when such a man reads about a country like the USSR, he automatically translates everything into English terms. And he quite innocently accepts the lies of totalitarian propaganda. It means that being accustomed to comparative freedom and moderation in public life, totalitarianism is completely incomprehensible to people in England. That is why Orwell believed that the majority of English people were incapable of assessing the true nature of the Soviet regime and were under a sort of illusion. These and other factors can partly explain why Orwell's Animal Farm faced publishing difficulties in the worst in 1945. Nevertheless, Orwell chose to deconstruct the Soviet myth in the unusual genre of the allegorical story that depicted a rebellion of domesticated animals on a farm, and this choice was also very deliberate. As Orwell himself explained, quote, the actual details of the story did not come to me for some time until one day, I was then living in a small village, I saw a little boy, perhaps 10 years old, driving a huge cart horse along a narrow path, whipping it whenever it tried to turn. It struck me that if only such animals became aware of their strength, we should have no power over them. And that man exploited animals in much the same way as the rich exploit their proletariat. In the preface, Orwell also emphasized two important points about the novel. First, that he simplified and changed the chronological order of certain episodes from the history of the revolution to preserve the symmetrical structure of the narrative. And second, that many readers close the book with the false impression that it ends, quote, in a complete reconciliation of the pigs and the humans. Orwell's intention, however, was quite opposite. He deliberately ended the story with a loud note of discord, as he was writing immediately after the Tehran Conference of 1943, which, as everybody thought, had improved relations between the USSR and the West. Yet Orwell did not believe in the longevity of this friendship. As it turned out, he was not mistaken. One can argue with the assessment of those Orwell scholars who tend to view Animal Farm not simply as grotesque, a utopia, or a fairy tale, but rather as a philosophical parable or political pamphlet. According to Bernard Crick, Animal Farm is not as much angry satire as it is a pessimistic prophecy, for it tells the story of a society that betrayed socialism and rejected its ideals. Such was Orwell's initial intention. Let us now take a look at how this work made its way to Central and Eastern Europe and to Ukrainian readers in particular. It is essential to stress that while Orwell's novel experienced publishing difficulties in Western Europe and the USA, it drew the special attention of the intelligentsia in Eastern Europe, especially in those countries that were suffering most from the Soviet regime. As a result, the first translations of Orwell's Animal Farm appeared in the languages of Eastern Europe, in Ukrainian, Polish, Estonian, then in Russian, Lithuanian, Latvian, etc. It is also worth mentioning that all these translations appeared in emigre publishing houses in Munich, London, Frankfurt am Main, Paris, and Stockholm. As a matter of fact, emigre publishers played an enormous role in disseminating Orwell's novels in the countries of Eastern Europe, where his works were banned and could appear only in some vedav in the underground. People could be harshly punished for prison term by a prison term or exile for publishing or disseminating such publications. Unexpected things often occur in the literary world. No one could have predicted that Ukrainians would be the first to translate Orwell's Animal Farm, and that its first translator, who translated Orwell's novel in 1947, almost right after the original appeared, would be the noted Byzantinist and Harvard University professor Ihor Shevchenko, who published his translation under the pen name Ivan Chernyatynsky. Back then, however, he was not a professor yet, and not well known. Neither was George Orwell. Orwell's original novel was not as well known at the time either, but these circumstances do not change the fact that the first translation of this celebrated work was a Ukrainian one, entitled Kolkhoz Tvarin, Collective Farm of Animals, and that it appeared thanks to Ihor Shevchenko and his personal contacts with George Orwell. Shevchenko is not the only translator of Animal Farm into Ukrainian. Several other translations appeared in the 1980s and the early 1990s. Among them is the clearly experimental free translation by Irina Dybko entitled Hutyer Tvarin, Farmstead of Animals, and published in 1984. As its title page announced, this translation was dedicated to the victims of the Holodomor in Ukraine. Two other Ukrainian translations appeared in 1991. One of them entitled Ferma Rai dla Tvarin, The Farm, A Paradise for Animals, was done by Yuri Shevchuk and appeared in the Journal Всесвіт. And the other, entitled Skotoferma, Livestock Farm, was included in a book that also contained the Ukrainian translation of Arthur Kessler's novel Darkness at Noon. Drozdovsky was indicated as the translator of Orwell's work in this edition. The following year, yet another translation of Orwell's novel came out in the journal Vitchizna under the title Skotohutyr, The Farmstead of Livestock. The translator's name was not included, and Natalia Okolitenko wrote the preface to the translation. Every one of these translations mentioned above has its history and its unique features, and each one is interesting in its own way, either because of personal contacts with the author, as in the case of Yor Shevchenko, or because of textual peculiarities, as in the case of Irina Dybko's translation, or because of the mystery regarding the translator, as in the case of Drozdovsky. So let's start with the first Ukrainian translation. In the 1940s, Ihor Shevchenko, just as many other Ukrainians, ended up in the displaced persons camps in Germany. Many of the DPs managed to maintain cultural and intellectual activities even under the harsh circumstances. There were many representatives of the creative and academic professions among the displaced persons, including writers, actors, and scholars. The Ukrainian translation of Animal Farm under the title Kolkhoz Ptvarin came out in the Prometei publishing house, which at the time was located in Germany. This edition was primarily meant for Ukrainian refugees in occupied Germany in the camps. The publisher's foreword announced that the translation was the beginning of, quote, a whole series of Ukrainian translation of works by contemporary Western European writers and journalists. And that, in this way, the publishing house intended, quote, to contribute to the establishment of the close contacts between the progressive Ukrainian world and the dynamic contemporary socio-political and cultural Western European processes and phenomena, end quote. The publisher also found Orwell an extremely interesting figure, since the latter belonged, according to them, to that group of intellectuals who acknowledge the need to fight for a radical rebuilding of the world on the principle of social justice, end quote. It is no wonder, then, that the former Soviet subjects who had escaped from the USSR became interested in this particular work by Orwell. Their edition referred twice to the genre of the work. The subtitle on the front cover, calls it Kaska, a fairy story, and the foreword itself indicates that it is a work of socio-political satire. In the 1980s, Ihor Shevchenko not only expressed his views on Orwell's literary legacy in general, but also described how he came to translate Animal Farm. Among other things, he recalled that he was introduced to Orwell literally and figuratively by the Poles. It is important to mention at this stage that Shevchenko, Ukrainian by background, was born and raised in Poland. He was born in 1922 in the village of Radosz, not far from Warsaw. His parents were Ukrainian patriots from Kyiv who were forced to emigrate from Ukraine after the Bolsheviks' intervention. In Warsaw, Shevchenko graduated from the Adam Mickiewicz Gymnasium. Right at the beginning of World War II, Shevchenko moved to Prague, where he studied at Karls Universitet. Later, he also studied at the Catholic University in Leuven, majoring in classical philology, ancient history, and comparative linguistics. After the war, Shevchenko's school friend from Warsaw, Andrzej Vincenz, son of the noted Polish writer and diplomat Stanisław Vincenz, found Shevchenko and convinced him to join the staff of the Polish daily Dziennik Żołnierza, for which Andrzej worked at the time. It was Andrzej and another of Shevchenko's friends, Konstantin Jelenski, who had spent some time in England and later introduced Ihor Shevchenko to English literature and to Orwell's works in particular. From Orwell's letters, we also find out that the mother of Konstantin Jelenski, Teresa Jelenska, who personally knew Orwell and planned to translate Animal Farm into Polish, introduced Shevchenko to Orwell in a letter. A little later, on April 11, 1946, Shevchenko wrote to Orwell himself in order to obtain permission to translate Animal Farm, which marked the beginning of their correspondence. In the chaotic post-war years, some of the correspondence between Shevchenko and Orwell was lost. The letters and materials that had been preserved are included in the complete works of George Orwell. The two men corresponded mostly in 1946-47, but Shevchenko remembers receiving another letter from Orwell in late 1949 or early 1950. It was a very moving letter in which Orwell wrote about his illness, tuberculosis, and his sincere hope of recovering because a new TB medicine had been recently discovered. At Shevchenko's request, Orwell wrote a preface specifically for the Ukrainian edition of Animal Farm. Thus, the first Ukrainian translation is accompanied by a unique document that is today cited around the world and translated into many languages. Unfortunately, Orwell's original English version of this preface has been lost. It was not found either in Orwell's or in Shevchenko's archive. We know that the translator somewhat abridged the preface with the author's permission and translated it into Ukrainian. Years later, when the complete edition of Orwell's works, essays, and letters was being prepared, the compilers requested the original preface from Ihor Shevchenko. In his letter to the publisher of the complete edition, dated August 13, 1992, Shevchenko wrote that, unfortunately, the original of this unique document was not preserved. He explained that in the tumultuous post-war years, he moved from place to place. Besides, he was then only 25 and could not know what the future had in store for Orwell. Commenting on his letter to Orwell from March 25, 1947, Shevchenko called the abridgment and loss of Orwell's original preface a, quote, an unpardonable sin against literature. Having found no original of the preface, the compilers took quite an unexpected route and reconstructed the English text from the Ukrainian translation. The reverse translation into Ukrainian was done by Amrei Ettlinger and Ian Willison, an entitled preface to the Ukrainian edition of Animal Farm. Orwell scholars should remember the fact that they are not dealing with the authentic Orwell text. Sometimes failure to take this fact into account leads to awkward mistakes. There is another curious episode in this Ukrainian context. In the same year of 1947, Orwell writes a letter to his friend, the English writer Arthur Kessler, in which he introduces Ihor Shevchenko as a translator and asks Kessler to give Ukrainians permission to translate his works. From this letter, we know that Orwell was pleased with the quality of Shevchenko's translation. As he wrote to Kessler, the Ukrainian translation had been reasonably well printed and got up, and so far as I could judge by my correspondence with Shevchenko, well translated, end quote. In the same letter, Orwell tells Kessler what happened to the Ukrainian translation of Animal Farm after it was published, quote, I have just heard from them that the American authorities in Munich have seized 1,500 copies of it and handed them over to the Soviet repatriation people. But it appears about 2,000 copies got distributed among the DPs first, end quote. One can also infer from this letter why Orwell so actively supported Ukrainians in their translation projects. Quote, I'm sure we ought to help these people all we can. And I have been saying ever since 1945 that the DPs were a godsend opportunity for breaking down the wall between Russia and the West. If our government won't see this, one must do what one can privately. End quote. It is worth noting that Ihor Shevchenko's translation of Animal Farm, although it was done in post-war years without access to comprehensive dictionaries, reference literature, and other translation of this work, the text is faithful to the original and highly readable. There are a few inconsistencies in the translation of names, a few inaccuracies, and the post-war Ukrainian language might need to be modernized for Ukrainian reader of today, but these minor issues are easy to correct. The translator himself partly made these corrections and planned to continue working on them. From my correspondence with Professor Shevchenko, I know that in his retirement, he intended to reprint his translation and even edited a part of it for this purpose. Quote, I revised the first half of the translation recently, correcting its errors in rendering and in my Ukrainian of the late 40s of the last century. And between you and me, would you like this revised version to be published again? The objective reason is that with the Putin era, Animal Farm begins to be actual again. End quote. Unfortunately, Shevchenko passed away before he could complete his editorial work on this translation. Most certainly, it is worth reprinting this translation now, as it was the first Ukrainian translation of Animal Farm, and a unique one at that, done with the permission and participation of the author. Besides, as Ihor Shevchenko wrote himself in his letter to me, quote, the history of my translation is basically unpublished and perhaps worth talking about, end quote. Moreover, reprinting this translation should be done in memory of Ihor Shevchenko, especially considering the fact that 2017 marked two anniversaries related to the project, 95 years since the birth of Ihor Shevchenko and 70 years since the publication of the first Ukrainian translation of Animal Farm. Now let us talk about the interpretation by Irina Dybko. This version, or a free translation as it was called, was published in North America by Smoloskip Publishers in 1984. As we find out from its foreword, written by Roman Kuhar, the translator attempted to correct or modernize Orwell's work somewhat because, quote, in its allegorical literary disguise, Orwell's work no longer speaks as powerfully to the contemporary readers as it did when it first surprised the readership. That is why, according to the author of the foreword, his, Orwell's, ephemeral terminology, the animals of England, the animals of Wales, animal rights, etc., could stand a more precise and modern rendering. It is high time, as Roman Kuhar puts it, to call things by their real names. That is, to tell the Ukrainian readers the historical truth that, in his work, Orwell depicts the, quote, criminal nature of Muscovite Bolshevism. With this goal in mind, the translator Russifies the names of all the heroes of Animal Farm. Thus, instead of Mr. Jones, her text features the farm owner Romanov. The boy Napoleon becomes Vissarionov in Irina Dybko's translation, and his police dogs Bluebell, Jesse, and Pincher become Belov, Jessov, and Pinkov. The boss Snowball gets the name of Davidovich, and the hard-working horse Boxer becomes Dobrilov. The reticent donkey Benjamin becomes Molchaznikov. The goat Muriel is called Murka, and the mare Molly is called Milochka. The rest of the fairy story's characters acquire similarly modified names, and the action takes place not in England, but in Volgograd. The logical question to ask is whether such substitutions have a place in translation, and if such an interpretation can be called translation as such, even if it is free. Of course, such questions are debatable and necessitate a detailed analysis of how such attempts to explicate and modernize Orwell's work influence the original and its content. But another question seems equally important. Hadn't Orwell made his work transparent enough for readers to understand its true content? Isn't just the use of the actual names of Stalin, Trotsky, and others that gives readers a clue that this work is really about the Stalinist era? Orwell never concealed his real intention to write an allegorical fairy story about the Soviet regime and the so-called socialism in the USSR. And he discussed this in detail in his prefaces. It might be worth recalling the idea voiced by Bernard Crick about Orwell's essay on self-censorship in Great Britain. The former noted that it was for the best that Orwell's essay, The Freedom of the Press, was not included as the preface to Animal Farm, as in his opinion, quote, the fable might then have lost its general resonance, might have appeared to be an attack only on Stalin, and the universality of its reflections on the corruption that can come from power might have seemed just the projection of an English literary quarrel, end quote. I would argue that this is exactly what Irina Dybko did in her translation. The fable in her interpretation loses its more general meaning and is perceived exclusively as a work about Stalin, whereas the universal character of the novel's ideas about the way power corrupts is lost. It is important to remember that Orwell's allegorical fairy story is a work of literature, not a piece of socio-political journalism. Orwell has deservedly earned his literary reputation with two of his best-known works, Animal Farm and 1984. Can attempts to correct, modernize, and explicate Orwell be justified? In connection with this translator's experiment, one can cite the claim by the noted Shakespeare scholar Eric Bentley, who wrote in his book, The Life of the Drama, that some commentators and scholars of Shakespeare have tried in various times and countries to make Shakespeare's work say what they say in more explicit ways. Quote, they have been closing the circle which Shakespeare left open, which is not foolish, but very likely what Shakespeare intended. Foolish only those critics who assume that the great geometrician would leave a circle open by accident, end quote. In her translation, Irina Dybko attempted to do something similar. According to Roman Kuchar, she, quote, gives her own translated version of Orwell's memorable work. Although somewhat transposed, this version is more faithful to the facts of life and better suited to the spirit of the times. Keeping strictly to the historical truth, Irina Dybko sets the action in the correct place and gives characters and objects their real names. In this way, Kuchar maintains, Irina Dybko has taken the unnecessarily camouflaged action and characters of the original work, as well as of its first Ukrainian translation, from the abstract, imprecisely drawn realm to the lowest depths of life under the Soviet regime, end quote. The author of the foreword goes even further and compares Dybko's experiment with the Aeneid by Virgil, no less, or rather with the travesty by Kotlarevsky, who, in Kuchar's words, quote, transmuted the Roman epic into a form more understandable to the national consciousness in order to make Virgil's the Aeneid more approachable for the Ukrainian readers and to bring this work closer to the reality of their life under the Russian Empire, end quote. However, the author of the foreword omits an important detail. No one, not even Kotlarevsky himself, considered Kotlarevsky travesty a translation. Kuchar considers it a drawback of the previous Ukrainian translation that Ihor Shevchenko followed the textual peculiarities of Orwell when the contemporary political situation, quote, prompts the translator to take a different approach. If Orwell did not call his character Stalin, would his translators do it for him in an effort to help that supposedly unaware reader to decipher the author's allegory? Is this an attempt to surpass Orwell or a lack of faith in readers' perceptiveness? Though, of course, everyone has the right to experiment, and readers can make their own decision on the efficacy of Dybko's approach. Now let's move to another translation. The translation by Yuri Shevchuk, at the time still a young scholar and translator, appeared in 1991 in the journal Sesvit. The first thing that attracts the reader's attention is the unusual translation of the work's title. How and why did the English title Animal Farm become Ferma Rai Для Тварин, the farm, a paradise for animals, in Shevchuk's translation? I decided to address this question to the translator himself. Quote, "I don't know," confessed Shevchuk, "who came up with this rather cheap title, Ferma Rai Для Тварин? To me, as someone with a diploma in theory and practice of translation, and a devoted practitioner of this art, such frivolous treatment of the original would be sacrilege. At the same time, I was so overjoyed that my translation appeared in print that I didn't care about anything else. This was my debut as a translator, and I was very happy that it was a truly explosive work rather than something more neutral." End quote. Shevchuk began translating Orwell's Animal Farm back in 1987, rendering the title Ferma Для Тварин, a farm for animals. He did not know of the existence of other previous Ukrainian translations. He undertook this project in an effort to find refuge from this, he said, tragicomic atmosphere of the USSR at the time. Quote, "I knew it, Orwell's fairy story, almost by heart, because I had a copy of it that my good friends had brought me from London. I felt the need to do something to resist the bark around me, so I would not become the same as the rest. So I started translating this fairy story. It was almost like a course of semi-conscious self-therapy, an act of resistance against the communist regime, which was deeply revolting to me back then in its especially barbaric Russian variant." End quote. The translator also remembers the role Solomia Pavlichko had played in the publication of this translation. Pavlichko, a friend of Shevchuk's since his graduate school years in Kyiv, was the first reader of the translation, and her opinion of it was favorable. Moreover, she showed the translation to her father, the well-known writer Dmytro Pavlichko, who also liked it. Nevertheless, in the late 1980s, there was hardly any hope that it could be published in Ukraine, considering its political tenor. Dmytro Pavlichko, as Shevchuk recalls, thought that, quote, "no editor would be willing to print it and risk his job." But the translator did not lose hope that sooner or later his work would see the light of day. Only when Orwell's novel came out in Russian translations in various journals and publishing houses of Latvia, Kyrgyzstan, and Russia between 1988 and 1990 did the situation also change in Ukraine. The journal Sesvit decided to print the Ukrainian translation of Orwell's fairy story. It was accompanied by a selection of passages from Bernard Crick's book, George Orwell Alive, as well as by a reprint of Orwell's preface to the Ukrainian edition of Animal Farm, translated from English by Ivan Chernyatinsky. Yuri Shevchuk completed the entire prose translation of the fairy story, and the poetic section of it were translated by Alexander Herzenko. This was the first Ukrainian translation of Orwell's fairy story to appear in Soviet Ukraine. Last year, a new book edition of Shevchuk's translation appeared in Ukraine. This time, the publisher entitled the book Kolkhoz Ptvorin, appropriating Ihor Shevchenko's translation of the novel's title. Moreover, the translation was thoroughly edited, and now, in my opinion, it is one of the best Ukrainian translations of Orwell's Animal Farm. In translated Ukrainian literature, there exists another translation of Orwell's work entitled Skotoferma, Livestock Farm, and published in 1991 as a separate volume, together with the Ukrainian translation of Arthur Kessler's novel Darkness at Noon. The preface by Valery Gruzin, included in this book, mentioned the renowned Byzantinist Ihor Shevchenko as the first Ukrainian translator of Orwell, It also noted that, quote, the present translation of Animal Farm is the first one to be printed in the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic. As we know, the first translation in Soviet Ukraine was done by Yuri Shevchuk, but the time difference in the publication of the two translations was very insignificant. This edition also reprinted Orwell's preface to the Ukrainian edition of Animal Farm, although it did not indicate the full name or the full title or the name of the preface translator. A textual analysis, however, demonstrates that this is a well-edited version of Ihor Shevchenko's translation. Livestock Farm is, in my opinion, very good translation of Orwell's work, both in its faithfulness to Orwell's text and images, and its stylistic vividness and originality of the Ukrainian language. Drozdovsky is indicated as the translator of this work, although it proved virtually impossible to find any information about an individual with such a name or any other translations by him. This suggests that Drozdovsky is not the real name of the translator, but rather somebody's pen name. If that is the case, it is only natural to ask who and why that person is hiding behind the pseudonym. All my attempts to find an answer to this question through the editors and compilers of that book, publication, have yielded no positive results so far. The book was published decades ago, and no one seems to remember what really happened. Nor can anyone confirm the fact that a translator with such a name really exists. The book editor Mykola Ryabchuk hypothesized that it was not a new translation, but rather a thoroughly edited earlier translation, perhaps even the first translation by Ihor Shevchenko. As far as I know, Ihor Shevchenko was not aware of someone editing his translation. This might be one of the reasons why the editor concealed his real name. Yet when one compares Ihor Shevchenko's translation to that of Drozdovsky, it is difficult to see any linguistic or stylistic similarities. Of course, the text could have been edited beyond recognition, but there are also nuances that make that translation recognizable. For example, there is a scene in Orwell's novel when, after their victory over the humans, the animals write commandments, seven commandments on the wall. Then the text comments on the mistakes the animals made in the writing of these commandments. Quote, it was very neatly written, and except that friend was written, friend, and one of the S was the wrong way round, the spelling was correct all the way through. In this instance, Ihor Shevchenko faithfully follows the original, indicating that mistakes were made in the spelling of the word friend and the writing of the letter S, S in Ukrainian. Заповіді написані були чітко, літери були усюди поставлені правильно, тільки замість друг вийшло дург, а животик одного з S випнувся у неправильний бік. Дроздовський offers a somewhat unexpected translation, in this case, stating that mistakes were made in the spelling of the words friend and clothing, одяг, in Ukrainian. Написано це було надзвичайно охайно, і за винятком незначних описок у словах друг та одяг, жодних інших помилок не було. It is unclear why the translator introduced the word clothing into the text, or if it comprises part of the editorial work, because such a substitution is neither justified nor probable. But if it was part of a translator's original work, it is a possible variant, although a controversial one. No other available Ukrainian and Russian translations give the variant that Drozdovsky does. Usually the rest of the translators try to keep to the original, although they do it by different means. In Irina Debko's translation, the animals made a mistake in the writing of the Cyrillic letter Ya, in the Ukrainian equivalent for the English word friend, приятель. У написаних заповідях правопис був правильний, крім букви Я у слові приятель. Ця буква була більшої величини і написана в протилежному напрямі. Here the translator attempted to render both original mistakes in the word friend and the writing of the letter S in the original text and Ya in translation in one word, which could have been more appropriately written as приятель in the translated text. The idea of the letter Ya merits attention since Ukrainian children almost always write it backwards when they are learning to write. Yuri Shevchuk's translation, as well as the version by the unknown translator, reproduced the spelling mistake in the word friend, Ukrainian drug, and in writing the two Cyrillic letters, U and S, respectively. In Yuri Shevchuk's translation, it is as follows. Все було написано дуже ретельно, от тільки замість друг написали друг, а в одному у хвостик загнули не в той бік. Все ж інше цілком відповідало граматичним правилам. In the unknown translator's version, it is кожна літера була ретельно виведена, от хіба що замість друг вийшло дург, а одне «с» дивилося в інший бік. Але в цілому все справляло бездоганне враження. So thus the question of the originality of Drozdovsky's translation remains an open one for now. Perhaps a more in-depth linguistic analysis will give better results, but this is a topic for another study. Returning to the first Ukrainian translation of Orwell's Animal Farm, I would like to add some remarks about the Polish context of Shevchenko's translation. In fact, there is a strong connection between the first Ukrainian and Polish translations of Orwell's novel. Although the lives and fates of Ukrainian and Polish translators were different, and the conditions in which the translations were executed differed considerably, both translators were closely connected with the immigration from Central and Eastern Europe in the first half of the 20th century. Both had contacts with each other, as well as with George Orwell. As I have already mentioned, Igor Shevchenko was introduced to Orwell and his writing by the Poles, most directly by Teresa Jelenska and indirectly by his school friends from Warsaw, Andrzej Vincenz and Konstanty Jelenski. It was Konstanty Jelenski who told Shevchenko that his mother, Teresa Jelenska, personally knew Orwell and was translating Animal Farm into Polish. There is a strong possibility that it was Jelenski who encouraged Shevchenko to translate novel into Ukrainian. That was the literary environment in which Shevchenko read the works of Orwell and other Western writers. He himself believed in social democratic ideas and thought that the political future of Ukrainian immigrants was closely connected with the socialist and anti-Stalinist circles of the time. Since Animal Farm was intentionally written as an anti-totalitarian and anti-Stalinist work, Shevchenko decided to translate it into Ukrainian to present Orwell's ideas to Ukrainians in the German DP camps, which were filled with refugees from the USSR. Thus, the first Ukrainian translation of Orwell's novel appeared in November 1947. The first Polish translation of Animal Farm by Teresa Jelenska came out in London in December 1947 under the title Zwierzęce Folwark. It was published by the League of Poles Abroad, Światpol. Both Ukrainian and Polish translations of Animal Farm appeared thanks to translators' personal contacts with each other and with George Orwell. Speaking about the first Polish translation of Animal Farm, it should be added that Jelenska worked on her translation at approximately the same time as Shevchenko did. This becomes obvious from George Orwell's correspondence. For example, in his letter to Leonard Moor from August 6, 1946, Orwell, among other things, mentioned that he was, quote, in communication with Mrs. Jelenska, the Polish woman who translated Animal Farm, about a further translation, end quote. Unfortunately, no correspondence between Teresa Jelenska and George Orwell has been traced, but in the complete works of George Orwell, there are several notes and comments stating that they corresponded and discussed different projects in letters. It has also been noted that Orwell took much interest in Mrs. Jelenska's effort and met with her to explain in French those parts of her text she found difficult. Teresa Jelenska wrote a brief memoir about George Orwell, Wspomnienie o Orwelu, which appeared in Wiadomości in 1968. In her memoirs, the Polish translator claimed that she had learned about Orwell's Animal Farm purely by chance. In 1946, she read about Orwell's new novel in London's Observer. Then she immediately bought the book, read it, and was deeply fascinated by it because, in Mrs. Jelenska's words, quote, the book concerns us and was in fact about us. From Orwell's correspondence, it is also known that Ukrainians and Poles did not pay any fees or royalties for Orwell's permission to publish his novel in translation. Quote, I did not want any fee for Animal Farm from the Poles or any other Slavs, wrote Orwell in his letter to Leonard Moore, dated June 8, 1948. While asking Arthur Kessler to give Ihor Shevchenko permission to publish his works into Ukrainian, Orwell also wrote, without payment, of course. Later in the letter, Orwell also added, I told him you would not press for payment, which in any case these people could not make. In one of his interviews, Ihor Shevchenko mentioned that he knew Teresa Jelenska personally and that they met several times. As a matter of fact, Teresa Jelenska wrote to Orwell on Shevchenko's behalf and broached with him the possibility of the publication of his Ukrainian translation. In addition, Shevchenko in his comments tried to explain why a Polish diplomat's wife, Teresa Jelenska, supported a Ukrainian translation of Animal Farm, apart from her position as the grand dame in Italo-English literary circles and her connection with Orwell. Those post-war days, combined with the Soviet domination of Poland, witness a rapprochement between left-wing or liberal Polish intellectuals and their few Ukrainian counterparts, for both sides realized that they had been gobbled up by the same animal. Hence, it was the cooperation on the venture which would bring the message of an anti-Stalinist Western left-wing author to the Ukrainians. End quote. In conclusion, I would like to say that Ukrainian translated literature abounds in various interesting facts and translators' experiments. Yet the history of Ukrainian translation of Orwell's Animal Farm is probably among the most interesting ones. This is so not only because there are several translations of this work, or because the translations are unusual in some way, although this factor is present as well, but rather because this history features the unique phenomenon of an almost simultaneous translation of Orwell's masterpiece, which, unfortunately, remains timely even today, and because of the very interesting story of the personal contacts between the author Orwell and the translator Ihor Shevchenko. Literary and translators' mystifications and unusual interpretations also attract the attention of scholars, specialists in literary studies and translation studies. A comparative analysis of the English original and its Ukrainian translations would likely prove to be no less interesting. As we can see, Orwell's fairy story furnishes much material for scholarship and translating experiments. This brings me to the end of my lecture. Thank you very much for your attention. And if you have any questions, I will be very glad to try to answer them. Thank you.